You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, Squirrel Whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Titletown Sound, episode number 76, the Chad Clifton edition of the show. And our regular listeners, of course, know that that means absolutely nothing. But we keep doing it anyway, at least until we hit 100, and then every episode will be a Jeff Janis edition of the show. But I digress. On this week's show, I get cheeky about the play of Mr. Joe Thomas. Chris argues that Bob Ross actually invented twerking. And James argues that it was actually Mr. Rogers. It's going to be a fine argument that we have here. First of all, I am the man they call Bobo. I'm here kind of leading the way for this podcast, or this mess that we call a podcast. With me today is Chris Christofko. Chris, how are you?
I'm quite fine. Good evening, Bobo.
Good evening, sir. And James Corsmo is here as well. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you, fellas?
I'm excellent. By the way, Jeremy Vanderlinden usually joins us on the show. He cannot be with us this week. He is, I don't think I'm supposed to say this, but he's actually in Utah trying to steal the beehive boot right now. Fun fact.
And just so we could pause a second, because I just want to pour one out for my homie.
There you go.
No, don't pour it out. That's a waste.
Is that what that was?
Pour it out right into my mouth.
Come on. Okay. All right.
And on that note, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers offensive line. Leading the way with, I guess it's sort of breaking news for us. It probably won't be by the time this goes up. But David Bakhtiari has a contract extension, 4 years, I believe $51.67 million or something in that ballpark. And he is among the top five highest paid offensive linemen in the game today. And James, I'm going to throw this to you. Your thoughts on Bakhtiari getting a contract extension?
I think it's great. I'm all for it. As you said, he is in the top five paid offensive linemen today. However, skip fast forward a year, 2 years, he's going to be right where he's supposed to be. And Ted's going to look like a genius. Right now, he looks not genius-y because...
That's a word.
It is. I made it up right now, so it's definitely a word. The consensus seems to be that Bakhtiari is maybe in the top 15 to 20 linemen or tackles even in the whole league. I think he's better than that. I think he's at least in the top 7 or 8 pass-blocking tackles. But I think that it was something that needed to happen, and Ted needed to get it done soon so we could start working on everybody else, because half the other offensive players are up this year too. So kudos, Ted Thompson.
Indeed. Chris, your thoughts?
So two thoughts. First is that, as James said, it's going to end up being a great deal when this is all said and done. As the cap goes up and the TV money goes up, this will look like a steal, just like Aaron Rodgers' contract now looks in some ways like a steal. It also solidifies an offensive line that has had depth issues in the past, so it'll help in the future. But I don't think I'm the only one who might believe that this deal was accelerated just a little bit by the Josh Sitton issue.
True.
I still believe that he was cut for a reason other than cap space, and I believe that he was a locker room issue, but I think there was an incident that happened, and I think it forced their hand. And this signing this early on says to fans, like, look, see, we did have a plan, This all makes sense now. So I think they may have pushed it a little bit, but anytime you can lock down a left tackle, and I don't have as high opinion as Bakhtiari as some. I think he's a relatively average left tackle, but even a relatively average left tackle is such a necessity that that to lock him up for anything other than, you know, top dollar, which is what they did, is definitely a positive and helps the offense going forward.
Certainly. And yeah, it's anytime you get an offensive lineman that can do a job halfway decently, yeah, I think I got to agree. Go ahead, lock him up, especially at the tackle positions, where it seems like a lot of teams have maybe one solid tackle, and I'll use solid kind of as a loose term, if that makes sense. Solid is a loose term. Whatever.
Well, hang on a minute. I got to unravel my brain.
It was paradoxalicious.
Whoa.
James was told he would not need his thinking cap today. So,
wait, now, but before we're talking about tackles, and so before your brain fully explodes, let me get this little tidbit in here. Did you see who Pro Football Focus's top rated tackle this week was?
I did not.
Any guesses?
I'm gonna go ahead and say it was not David Bakhtiari.
It was not. But if you guessed Marshall Newhouse, you're a winner.
Dang it,
Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah,
it would have been like my third guess. Would have been my third guess.
Did the other team play a defensive tackle?
They did not. Yeah, that was part of it. He kind of just stood there all day, but no one went by him. So
my gosh. Well, there's proof right there that stats can sometimes be utterly, utterly meaningless. On the other hand, Lane Taylor, I think it's fair to say he was not utterly meaningless or useless. I don't know where he showed up on that list, Chris. If you happen to have that handy.
No, after I saw Marshall Newhouse, I stopped reading. It made me nauseous.
I understand. But Lane Taylor, I kind of wanted to ask you guys what your thoughts on Lane Taylor was and what kind of maybe a letter grade you would give him, if I can use that antiquated old measuring stick. Chris, how do you think Lane Taylor did?
So you asked for our initial thoughts on Lane Taylor. My first thought was, I was just happy to see that what we saw in the preseason was not what we can expect from Lane Taylor. The Lane Taylor of last season, where he played well in spot situations, may be more accurate, and it may justify more why the Packers thought they could make the move with Sitton that they did. I thought he played admirably. He's not Josh Sitton. We got to get ready for that. You know, we got to be prepared for that. But that doesn't mean that the man is completely inept. I thought he acquitted himself nicely on Sunday, and if that's what we see the rest of the season, we're going to be very happy with the offensive line play.
And James, your thoughts?
I was incredibly happy with how well he played. I mean, I wasn't expecting him to play terribly, but I also wasn't expecting him to play as well as he did, which is why when I went to rejoice on social media afterwards, which was probably a bad idea because that's not a place to rejoice. That's a place to go and it's Maury Povich. But I got tweets, and I saw tweets of people who were saying that he performed poorly, and I wanted to shake them thoroughly and ask them if they watched the same game I did, because Aaron Rodgers took one sack and he caused that sack. That was on him.
And not only that, I mean, Rodgers is good at moving around and avoiding hits, but there were times when he had such a clean pocket. You know, I was actually impressed with the offensive line play.
Absolutely. And Lane Taylor played very well, and he didn't go up against a scrub either. He went up against a Super Bowl champion the whole time. So that was impressive. And if I'm giving him
just a reminder, Frank Zombo, also a Super Bowl champion.
Well, of course. Fair point. He could have won it all by himself. We could have put Frank Zombo out there with one of the one of the tackling sleds, and they would have won the Super Bowl. Letter grade for Lane Taylor, I'm giving him a solid B+.
Nice. I was thinking about a B myself. I don't know, Chris.
Yeah, I would go about B+. I think that's about right.
Okay. Fair enough. So our general consensus: Lane Taylor, A-okay with us. Keep up the good work. On the defensive side of the ball, Sam Shields, man, you don't want concussions to become an issue with this guy, but it seems like it's maybe creeping up on him. So, Chris, I want to ask your thoughts on Sam Shields, and how do you think the other defensive backs are going to do if Sam Shields has to miss some time?
So I think this is Shield's fourth concussion now, dating back to college. If I'm wrong there, that wouldn't be the first time. But it's a concern. Shields is, he's important to this defense. We need him. And a fourth concussion really is alarming. You know, if he had another one this year, you'd wonder about the future of his career. At four, people are going to start wondering about the future of his career and whether or not, you know, it's going to be a very long one. And so it alarms you. So looking to who's going to step up, you know, it's a deep cornerback pool, but with the play that we saw on Sunday, it concerns you a little bit. You know, going into this game, I don't think any of us would have thought the secondary would have been, you know, the one dark spot for the Packers, but it kind of was. Quentin Rollins looked
horrible.
Pedestrian. I was going to be I was going to be very nice and say pedestrian, but you're right, he looked horrible. And Gunter just looked out of place at times, so you worry about whether those two can really step up in his absence. I think that the secondary will come along, but it does worry me for this weekend because we're going to be missing, I mean, in all likelihood, we'll miss Shields, although he did have a concussion at one point where he didn't miss a game. I don't expect that to be the case with him this time. Though, you know, we do have the gift of Sam Bradford throwing the ball, so we might be all right anyway.
That's true. James, your thoughts on Sam Shields and concussions?
Well, first of all, as a human being, I care about him more so than a football player. I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but he's a real actual person and not a video game. And, you know, and I certainly hope that his long-term health is not going to be affected by this, because he seems like a pretty decent dude and has a long life ahead of him. And, you know, I want him to be okay. That being said, I'm not panicking. I'm not too worried yet. However, it's concerning because our depth there isn't necessarily great, especially with quality. We have Demaryius Randall, who I will go on record now saying he's going to be in the Pro Bowl for as long as he wants to be in the league. He's going to be incredible. And we have Rollins, who can perform when he needs to at times, but he hasn't been consistent with it yet. So I don't know if they need to rotate Micah Hyde over from safety to more of a corner safety hybrid, or if they're going to take Burnett and move him out of his linebacker. He was awful too. So,
And here's the thing about depth. You always are deep at a position until you lose your number one starter.
True.
You know, you're always deep as a receiver at the receiving core until you lose Jordy Nelson. You're always deep in the secondary until you lose Sam Shields. So that it's funny how that happens. Like, you know, the receiving core last year was deep until Jordy went down. And then you're like, wow, we're incredibly thin. It's the same thing with the secondary. And that's what does worry you about this.
You know where we're not thin is running back.
You're not summoning some voodoo curse on Eddie Lacy here, are you, James?
It's just a clever way of calling Eddie Lacy still fat.
I was expecting him to be a little more tapered down, but he ran well. But that's getting off point.
All right, well, we'll talk about Eddie Lacy another time here. Did have a good game, though, it seems. So, again, Eddie Lacy, stay the course. You're looking good, too. What's not looking good, color rush uniforms. The Packers color rush uniforms, did they just come out this week? I was blissfully unaware.
They just confirmed today what the Packers will be wearing.
See, I was blissfully unaware of these things until earlier today, and I guess the Packers have like an all-white color rush thing. And James, I would like to know your thoughts on the Packers color rush uniforms.
I'm going to extrapolate on that a little bit, just a little, a skosh, and say that I find the whole color rush thing to be a blatant money grab that annoys me more than it probably should. That being said, if we have to wear these things, why can't we make them look good? This all-white uniform looks like an ice cream truck driver. It just looks silly. And maybe it'll look better under the lights on a Thursday night against that horrible team from the South. I don't know. But looking at it today, it just looks so plain. Not a fan.
Yes.
So here's how I feel about Color Rush. I love, for some reason, handing the NFL and its licensees my hard-earned money to wear the same costume as a grown man who plays a sport. With that said, I was looking forward to getting my bright gold Packers jersey, possibly with a certain fullback's number and name on it, and they released this, which is just the away jersey with white pants. I was actually mad that the money grab... I'm not going to buy one of these. It looks the same as the away jersey, but I actually was looking forward to getting one of these jerseys when they came out with it, and then they release it, and it's like... It's like Ted Thompson said, what can I do so that the Color Rush uniforms can properly reflect my personality? Oh, I've got it. We'll go with vanilla.
Yes.
It's so boring. I'm disappointed. I did want to get a jersey. I wanted something a little bit more interesting. It is a money grab. Although, I can't locate the tweet right now, but all of the money from the Color Rush jerseys is going to benefit some sort of children's health fund. So it's actually all of the money, not just like, you know, the 4% they give to cancer research, but all of it is going to some child's charity. So,
oh, well, crap. Now don't I feel stupid?
Yeah, what, do you hate children? Way to go.
Gah. NFL going and doing nice things for once.
I thought their Twitter account had been hacked when I saw that, but no, it's the truth.
Interesting. Yes, I interesting point, James, about saying that jerseys make them look like ice cream men, because I find that opinion especially interesting coming from you, a man with good humor. And on that note, Jeremy's gonna edit that out too.
I hope so. It hurt to say that.
Oh, pain. On that note, while we try to shake that off, would you guys rather go to break, or do you want to do Twitter questions right away? I'm going to leave that to you.
Let's just go to break.
Let's go to break. We're going to scrub down, and we'll be back in just a few seconds. So don't go anywhere, and if you do, then get there. We are always happy to promote What's the Score of the Sports News Quiz, where host Baxter Colburn and Game Master Josh Scheibe bring you a weekly sports trivia show revolving around current sports news with some interesting sports personalities from the area to boot, including Scott Wisniewski, Armin Sarian, and Lance Allen. You can check out What's the Score on Spreaker.com, the Sports Podcasting Network, and on iTunes. And by all means, please check out their website at WTSSportsQuiz.com. If you go to their website, you can find out how to have fun on their show as a contestant. I've done that personally. I highly recommend it. You can win some free stuff, and it doesn't cost you a thing to play. It doesn't cost you anything. You can win stuff. It works out as a plus in my book. Again, their website is WTSSportsQuiz.com. And now, back to Titletown Sound. We are back on Titletown Sound. I hope you got wherever you were going, if you were going somewhere. If not, then you're like me, going nowhere, just sitting here, mm-hmm. staring at a computer. I didn't get over that good humor joke. I'm so sorry. So depressed now.
I thought we agreed that we weren't going to mention that ever again.
We did, and then I did, and now I'm looking for my day to get brightened up by Twitter, and I don't know that that's going to happen. But thankfully, we have a tweet here from Rusty Weiss, at Rusty Weiss, or Rusty Smith, or Johnson, or we still don't know how to say his last name, but Rusty tweeted in, of the areas where the Packers need improvement, which one is the quickest, easiest fix, if there is one? Chris, I will throw that one to you first.
Well, I think based on the first game, the areas that looked like they needed improvement, number one was the secondary. And I think that's also the easiest fix, and that fix is just these guys getting their game legs under them again. I think they'll play better. It was a bad week. know, they got burned on some plays they shouldn't have. Rollins looked terrible. I think they can get over that. I think that they'll be okay. Like we said, they do have quite a bit of depth. As long as Shields can remain mostly healthy for the rest of the year, I think the secondary problems will kind of correct themselves.
All right. James?
I'm going to go on the other side of the ball, and I'm going to say that the offense looked great back to 2014 levels at times, and then other times it looked like a carbon copy of last year. So I think getting consistency back with explosiveness and just playing like the Packers that we know. And I think that's honestly the more reps that Jordy and Aaron take with Jared Cook. I think that as soon as everybody's comfortable with one another again, it's going to explode there. I've seen a lot of Vines over the last couple of days where there are wide receivers just waltzing by themselves, and Aaron missed them because he was looking for another wide receiver who was also waltzing by himself. So I think it over time, it's going to come together fairly quickly, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Rusty also tweeted, what are the odds that OJ Howard is still available at pick 28? And James, I will throw that one to you first.
Is he on parole?
No, I think he's still in that in jail in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I mean, he stole all that stuff and then beat those guys up, right?
I mean, I think at 28, he's going to be available because, you know, you've got a double murderer who was arrested for theft and is in prison. Who's going to take a shot at him in the top 27? It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I know that the Kardashians won't. I mean, he died.
He had his chance. He was after the whole white Bronco incident, though. I just don't think he's draftable. So I mean, no. I think that pretty much covers it.
No, high upside on his buddy AC Cowlings, though.
Absolutely.
Definitely. A lot of drive in that guy. That's the best answer you're going to get out of us on that one, Rusty. At Minity Ryan tweeted, the offense showed glimpses of what we saw last season, in my opinion. Are they rusty, or can we expect more of the same? Chris?
No, I think they're going to be good. I think that they're going to iron out some of their difficulties. You know, Rodgers played, what, 10 plays in the preseason. Jordy is still not 100%, even if he does look like he can do everything he wants to do. He's still got to kind of get back up to football speed. So this offense is going to be a lot better. And look, they didn't even get Jared Cook involved. I mean, essentially, he wasn't involved at all. So it was kind of a one, two-dimensional offense. They're really going to get things humming by the time, you know, we get into week three, week four. So I think we can expect last year's offense to be kind of the mirage. We're going to see the Packers offense of old very shortly.
All right. And James, I think you kind of answered this question earlier. Anything you want to add?
No, I mean, I agree with Chris wholeheartedly. I think perhaps not this next game because Minnesota's defense is pretty good. And they're pretty stout, and Zimmer knows how to throw a product on the field that confuses our offense pretty well. But absolutely, before the bye, I'm thinking we'll be if not where we want to be, pretty close.
And that's what's gonna happen. You'll see after this weekend, the Packers will win, but they're gonna have a tough time against this defense because it's very good. People are going to start talking about, oh, this offense, this is, you know, they're done, they can't play, blah, 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 receivers can't get open. No, it's a good defense, and you got to be ready for that, but you know what the reactions will be like.
True. Ryan also tweeted another topic we kind of touched on already. Quentin Rollins and Ladarius Gunter didn't show a whole lot of improvement. Can we rely on them in the slot? And James, I will throw that one to you first. Rollins and Gunter, you concerned about them, or do you think, it's a sophomore thing, no worries?
Well, with Rollins, I think a lot of it this past weekend was he was going up against guys that were 5 or 6 inches taller than him. Well, maybe 4 or 5. I mean, they were bigger than him, much bigger. Julius Thomas, that touchdown pass that he caught, I mean, I don't think anybody was stopping that. It was a perfectly thrown ball to a big dude. He was going to catch it. So I'm not too worried, to be honest, about Rollins. I think he's going to catch on and be okay. I think Gunter is an interesting cat to look at. He's shown that he can play really well at a very high level, but then he's also shown that he's also still really raw, and he needs some exposure to the field to see things and actually get a feel for what he needs to do. So worried? No. However, I think it's something to definitely keep your eye on. But to answer the question completely, I don't think we have a choice. I think that's what we have, and we got to roll with it.
I think with Rollins, if you saw a lot of the mistakes that he made are easily correctable and can be coached. What he was doing, he was paying too much attention to trying to track down the ball, need to stay with his man. He was turning too quickly and, you know, just let the guy get past him. So he can be coached, we hope. So it's not a lack of ability. I just think he made some fundamental errors on some of those passes, made him look awful, and he was awful. But I don't think that's a permanent state of being. With Gunter, I don't know. Again, he's kind of a mystery. Like you said last week, what, a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in an enemy?
Like Nemo?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know about him in the slot. I like him more on the boundary, but he's got to develop. And, you know, we may not have a choice, but he's one that I just don't know enough about. I mean, he did replace Rollins for a while, but I don't know where, you know, how he's developing. But I do think that this is a good secondary and it's going to perform relatively well. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about them.
There's a part of me that wonders how much of Rollins' struggles had to do with other guys in the defensive backfield, though, because Morgan Burnett trying to transition into his new safety linebacker hybrid thing, he struggled. He had a really difficult time, and a lot of the guys that Rollins had to go out there and get were guys that Burnett just turned over to him, and he had no chance at him to begin with. So I'm thinking once the whole group gets more cohesive and put together, I think it'll all come together pretty quick.
All right. Next Twitter question, at Nick Gator. Didn't you think we wouldn't have to deal with Peyton commercials anymore? Because I stupidly did. Chris, your thoughts?
I just have one thought, really. That's cut that meat. Cut that meat.
That was dirty.
We will never escape Peyton Manning commercials, ever.
No.
I mean, the man is, that's kind of his career right now.
Yeah. James, your thoughts?
As long as there are companies willing to cut a check to Peyton Manning for anything at all, the man will get in front of a camera and he will read his lines and he will cash that check. He's all about that life now.
But what's funny is, see, he doesn't play anymore, so he's trying to make plans for Sunday with his brother, but his brother still plays football, guys.
I mean, he does.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I get it now. I get it now.
How do you turn down a script like that?
Where's Cooper?
I'm just curious how they haven't turned this into a sitcom yet. This is ripe for a Thursday night 7:30 Central time slot. Let's move on. Our final Twitter question comes from at Packer Pulse. Mike McCarthy is a creature of habit, so how much longer do we wait for the Ripper fullback goal line dive? Chris, how much longer?
Too long. If it's one more play, it's too long. I cannot wait for that ineffective play, but I will jump on my couch and shout like a moron for the Ripper and generally scare the neighbors, and we'll get a yard and a half, but it'll be the most glorious yard and a half we've ever gotten.
And our Twitter feed will explode. James?
Yeah, we...
I have a shrine built in the corner of my basement that's just waiting for the candles to be lit. I can't wait. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be like my first date and my first wedding and my everything rolled into one.
My first wedding was amazing. First marriage, not so much.
All right. Well,
mine's still going. So,
all right.
Well, here, look. But to get somewhat serious, the fullback dive, it can't be any worse than the Eddie Lacy toss. Dear God, that makes me want to pull my own eyes out of the sockets.
there's zero reason for Eddie Lacy to run anywhere but straight forward.
So guys, here's what we got. You know, we're in the film room. We got a big bruising running back. He's a real good north to south runner. What should we do? Hey coach, let's toss it. I mean, where does that come from?
I'll tell you where it comes from. But this is a PG rated show.
So on that note, thank you for your Twitter questions and feel free to tweet at us any old time at Titletown Sound. And, yeah, shout out to Chris's first wife, I guess. Is that how we're writing? yes. Well, let's look ahead here. Packers taking on the Minnesota Vikings this week. And the big news going into it, apparently Sam Bradford may get a start on Sunday. And James, curious your thoughts on whether the Vikings should put Sam Bradford in there, or if they should stick with the mighty Sean Hill.
On a personal level, I really don't care. I hate that team no matter who the quarterback is. If Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Vikings tomorrow, I would still hate the Vikings. I hate them. So it can be either of them. However, from an analytical standpoint, Bradford's probably their better chance to win, I think. Even after three weeks of practice, he's not going to know everything like as thoroughly as he should. However, there's only about three ways you can give the ball to Adrian Peterson. So that's all he's going to have to do. So
it's a dive play and a toss play.
It's a dive, a toss, and a screen. Boom.
Screen, yes. Good call. Chris, you saw a lot of Sam Bradford being in Pennsylvania and Bradford being a former Eagle. What do you think about Sam Bradford? Are you quaking in your shoes or cleats or whatever you got on?
Sam Bradford always looks confused in the pocket. Maybe he's confused that the pocket is holding up for a brief period of time, causing him to survey his receivers and look at more than one of them. Maybe he's confused by the Chip Kelly system, which I think confused all of us. Maybe he's now confused that he's going to be playing in a large edifice that is shaped like a stapler. But Sam Bradford does not scare me. He's going to be in a new system, new verbiage. He's going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Confused. I expect that he will underperform if they do start him. And if Sean Hill starts, that's Sean Hill. I'm not worried about that either. The main goal is to get out in front of them a little bit so that they can't run the ball. Although I'm not too concerned with the way the defensive line played last week, that the running game is really going to be that dominant. They held Jacksonville to something like, 1.8 yards per carry? That's a hell of a performance. So let's see if that can continue this week. And if they can shut Adrian Peterson down, even in some way, and force the Vikings to become a passing team, well, you know, it could get ugly. I don't think it will. But, you know, what you want to do to the Vikings is force them to throw the ball, no matter who's under center.
All right. Let me throw this at you real quickly, Chris. Do you think the fact that the Vikings have traded a first-round pick to get Sam Bradford is maybe forcing their hand a little bit? They felt they could get away with 1 week without him at quarterback, but they feel like they need to get a return out of him pretty quickly?
That's a decent question. They may, you know... Here's the thing. The fans are going to start saying, why did you do it after a couple weeks? But I don't know that that's going to pressure them if they think that Bradford does not give them the better chance to win. If they think that Hill is going to give them a better chance to win, they're going to start him. I think Bradford is a semi-long-term solution for them because I do not think they're convinced, A, that Bridgewater will have any chance of playing next year, or B, that Bridgewater has a 100% chance of playing again. From the sounds of his knee injury, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. So Bradford may be a bit more than a stopgap, depending on how he can perform. So I don't think they'll feel pressured to play him this week. Like I said, I think he's a somewhat long-term solution, so that pressure won't come for a couple weeks.
All right. James, do you think their hand's a bit forced here?
I think it is. Honestly, when you add everything up, the brand-new swing line stadium they have, the the fact that it's a primetime game, they just bet the next 2 years on Sam Bradford. I can't even say it. They have to. I don't think there's much of a question, honestly. Like I said, I think from a talent standpoint and the ability to throw the ball, Bradford, I think, is better than Sean Hill. However, from a familiarity standpoint with the team, obviously Hill's going to be better. So they have a decision to make, but I think they're going to side with Bradford on this one because he gives them the better chance to win in their eyes.
All right. I feel like if we had a laugh track on this show, we would be playing it every time we mention the name Sam Bradford. But that's just
me. I'm with you.
It's time now for everyone's favorite game on the show, True False. And gentlemen, I am pleased to say we are all in mid-season form in our True False game. All of us are under 500 already. Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
That's fantastic. That's what I expect.
That's, yeah, it was not pretty. If my counting is correct, Chris, you got 1 out of 5 correct. The rest of us all got 2 out of 5 correct. But let me just say, Chris, I have the utmost faith that you are going to come back and beat us. So there you go, sir. You guys ready for true false?
Sure.
Okay, I'm loosening up here. True false number 1, Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 234 yards. Rodgers threw for 199 yards last week against Jacksonville. Minnesota allowed 271 last week to Tennessee. And keep in mind, last week we all thought Rodgers was going to get at least 254 yards. And again, he only got 199 against Jacksonville. Take what you will from that. So, true or false, Chris, you get it first. Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 234 yards.
I'm going to go with true. Again, I think the offense is a work in progress and still getting up to speed. And although the Vikings are a very good defense, they rely on a lot of turnovers, and I don't think Rodgers will give those to them. I think they'll be more effective. You're going to be indoors in better conditions, even if it is still on the road. And so that's why I'll go with true there.
James?
I'm going to go with true as well. I believe I saw a report today that Xavier Rhodes might miss the game with some sort of leg injury, which will be a big help. And I feel like Aaron's due for a breakout game against a team that he struggled against, kind of one of his statement games. He had a statement throw against Jacksonville with that pass to Davante Adams. So I think he breaks out.
All right. I'm going to say true as well. And I don't yet have Jeremy's answer to this question. Jeremy will be listening to the West Coast feed of this show a few hours later than the rest of us. So we will get the true-false answers from him so he can keep up. But I'm going to try to force his hand a little bit by saying true, because now he has to say false unless he wants to be a hoser, which he might be. True-false number 2, Adrian Peterson rushes for at least 80 yards. Adrian Peterson had just 31 yards rushing last week. And last year's games against Green Bay, he had 45 and 67 yards rushing. But he averaged just under 93 rushing yards per game last year overall. Packers also allowed just 48 rushing yards last week. So again, Chris, Adrian Peterson rushes for at least 80 yards. True or false?
I was going to say the answer is true. I would have said that before last week, but after the way that they performed, I think I think false is a better answer. I think that they're going to be able to keep him under 80 yards. The defensive line just really impressed me, and I don't know. I was shocked by the way they played, and hope that it's not an aberration. But I think we're going to see them play very well. And I think also the Packers will get ahead and turn the Vikings into a more one-dimensional team that has to throw the ball a little bit more. And this is a hot take alert that Adrian Peterson is done. 31 yards last week was not just a bad game, that finally the motor is slowing, the wheels are falling off, and he is done.
Interesting. Hot take alert, downgraded. And James, your thoughts. Adrian Peterson rushing for at least 80 yards.
That was a hot take. Like, I'm scorched. I need some salve. I struggle with this one because after watching them this past week shut down TJ Yeldon, I feel like they should hold him to under 80 yards, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of Adrian Peterson this game with Bradford potentially as the quarterback, so I'm going to have to say true.
All right, I have been deliberating whether I'm going to say true or false to this question myself. Chris, I think you have a valid point. I'm kind of wondering if Adrian Peterson is losing something. And I'm still on the fence. Oh, if only Jeremy were here to say something. And then I could just rebel against it. Because that's usually what I like to do in this segment.
But I'm not here.
I hope somebody else heard that.
I hate you.
Love you too, James. I'm going to say false. I'm going to say false to Adrian Peterson, 80 yards. Just because I'm feeling backed into a corner and I need to give an answer. True false number three. Stephon Diggs pulls in at least 80 yards receiving. Diggs had 7 receptions for 103 yards last week. He had 4 games last season with at least 80 yards receiving. But interestingly enough, all of those games came in their first 4 games. The top receiver last week against Green Bay was Allen Hurns with 75 yards. The number 2 receiver was Allen Robinson, who had 72 and had opportunity to get a little bit more than that. So, Chris, Stephon Diggs pulls in at least 80 yards receiving. True or false?
True. Just because we have the Sam Shields concussion issue, he's probably going to miss the game. And as a result, the passing yards might be up a little bit. And because the Vikings are going to be forced into passing situations more often than they might expect.
All right, James.
I'll say true. It feels like a game where some wide receiver is going to break out for them and have a decent game to try to bail out his quarterback. And since Stephon Diggs is pretty much the only guy they got, I have to go with him.
All right, I was going to say true, but I'm actually going to say false now and say maybe Bradford goes to somebody else for some odd reason, like somebody in the third row or...
Greg Jennings?
Or Greg Jennings, maybe the guy who's got the popcorn. I don't know. I have no faith in Minnesota's offense right now, so I'll say false. What the heck? True, false, number 4. Bit of a repeat from last week. Jared Cook pulls in more receptions than Richard Rodgers. Both of them recorded 1 reception last week. I believe I said they were going to catch an even number of passes. Thank you. And frame of reference for the Vikings defense, Delanie Walker was the only Tennessee tight end that had a reception against Minnesota last week. 3 catches, 42 yards for Walker. But again, only tight end that had a catch. So, Chris, true or false, Jared Cook pulls in more receptions than Richard Rodgers.
I still believe that they have a plan to get him involved more in the offense, so I will say true.
All right, James.
True. I'm riding the Jared Cook train until it falls off the rails.
All right. I'm going to say false. I'm gonna go with another even number of receptions for the guys. But I do agree Jared Cook has got some great things coming down the road. I just don't think it's going to be week 2 quite yet. But even 1 more reception than Rodgers would be enough to screw me up here. And heaven knows I suck at true-false badly enough. Anyway, true-false number 5. Minnesota scores at least 2 offensive touchdowns. Threw this one in because Minnesota did not score an offensive touchdown last week. And they have not scored more than 1 offensive touchdown in their last 3 regular or postseason games. That would be last week against Tennessee, the playoff game against Seattle, and their Week 17 matchup against the Packers, where they did score 1 offensive touchdown. So, Chris, Minnesota scores at least 2 offensive touchdowns. True or false?
I'm going to go with the trend and say false. his ad, my hot take, Adrian Peterson is done. The obvious take, Sam Bradford / Sean Hill are terrible. And what do you have left? A team that can't move the ball very well on offense and might actually be better just to punt on first down and hope their defense can score for them.
All right, James?
I'm going to take the same route, but I'm going to take the left turn in the fork, and I'm going to say true because they're due. Honestly, I don't really honestly feel that way, but I feel like I have to say something opposite of Chris because I want to win. So, and plus it's they're opening their stupid looking, dumb, awful stadium that's going to kill a bunch of birds, and emotions are going to be high, and Lake Minnetonka and yada, yada, yada.
And Lake Wobegon and all that good stuff. I have two words for you gentlemen in relation to this true-false question. Triple reverse flea flicker. True.
That's not even a thing.
It is now.
You need like 14 players to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, Minnesota cheats. So, on that note...
By the way, there's one thing that we didn't talk about at all when we talked about the Vikings.
Yes.
And that is Blair Walsh and how broken he is.
Speaking of taking the left fork in the road.
I mean, we've all seen the wide left gif, one of the greatest in the history of football, and how much joy it probably brings everyone every time they see it. But he missed, what, 2 field goals last week?
Yeah, he 2.
He can't be feeling super confident coming into Sunday night. So that's pretty fantastic. And you hope that, you know, if it comes down to it, their kicking game remains consistently bad.
All the more reason to think they're going to go for more touchdowns and skip the field goals. Not that they're going to
Right, because most teams don't go for touchdowns.
No. Well, the Vikings are starting to figure that out, I think. But it's the Detroit Lions are still trying to figure that out. But anyway, granted, they did win last week, so I guess that only sort of works. That said, we are almost at the end of the show, so you know what that means.
All right, hands on the hood and spread them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's time for spread them. The spread line right now for, is that the right term, spread line?
No, just the line. But I'm wondering if our marketing department might, you know, are they still getting paychecks? Because that doesn't seem like the wisest name for a segment.
I don't know. I didn't come up with
why?
That.
I think it's good. Wholesome. I saw an advertisement the other day for some butter that had that phrase on there.
I'm sure that's where they got the idea for the name. Anyway, Bovada.lv's Tuesday line for the game is Green Bay -3. And I should mention quickly last week's records. Chris was the only one that got it right, I believe.
That's right.
I believe Green Bay was -6. And they didn't cover, so Chris gets the win there. The rest of us suck eggs.
Including all of the homers on Twitter who did pick the Packers against the spread. So remember, every week, your opportunity to pick against us. And at the end of the year, hopefully, our listeners are better than us because that would just be amusing.
Yes. And again, at Titletown Sound on Twitter. You can check that out. Is that the pinned tweet right now?
It is.
I presume. All right. So, Chris... You get the first shot at this. The line again, as of Tuesday night, is Green Bay -3. I believe that's up from 1.5 yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it, it was at 1.5. I don't know what made the line move like that, but that's where we are right now.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford, mover of lines, thrower of interceptions.
Yes. Chris, your thoughts? Are you going to go... are you going to take Green Bay or Minnesota?
So last week I picked Jacksonville. I thought the line was a little too big for a road game. This week I'm going to take the Packers. Even though it is a road game, I think they're going to play a little bit better on offense. And I don't think the Vikings offense is going to be effective at all. at home, on the road. I don't think it matters where they're going to be. So I will take the Packers. I'll lay the 3 points, and I think that's a pretty confident pick.
All right. James, are you going with the spread or against?
Oh, yeah. No. We're going to win by much more than that. I'm taking it. We're good.
All right. Jeremy is just now piping in. I'm going to see if I can get him in there.
Hello, it's just Jeremy. I'm going to pick Minnesota.
That didn't sound legitimate.
Well, I don't know. The signal wasn't very good, but he obviously just picked Minnesota. So good for him. I'm going to take Green Bay.
Bobo, that sounded like you doing a voice that sounded nothing like Jeremy.
No, that was definitely Jeremy. So we picked Green Bay, except for Jeremy, who clearly picked Minnesota. It was definitely him. I was there. I heard it. And on that note, that's about it for the show. And none too soon. And we have the voicemail line.
Yeah. So we don't talk about this enough. Here's what I want you guys to do, and this is like serious. So like, take out your phone, or you may be listening on to the podcast on your phone right now. So take it out. I'll wait a second. Okay, we don't have all day. So take out your phone and enter this number in and save it. 920-445-TTSO. So that's 8876. Enter that, please, into your phone as the TTSO hotline. And during the game, when something angers you, when something pisses you off or makes you extremely giddy, call that number and give us your reaction. We'll put it together on for the show. And also, another tip that we enjoy this, when you get S-faced drunk and you have nothing better to do, call that number too. It's just, there's not a football reason. It's just funny.
It's my whole reason for living.
That's a good reason though, James. It's a very good reason. So by all means, please call. Because we want to hear you. We like getting Twitter questions, but we like to hear your voices, too. Sober or drunk, whatever. Responsible drinking, of course. That said, TitletownSoundOff.com is the website. We have stuff going up there all the time. At TitletownSound is the Twitter handle. And if you want to tweet at me, you've run out of better things to do, but good for you. At That's Our Bobo. TheTsOurBobbo, 3 B's, 2 O's, because there's just one Bobo. I love saying that. James, your Twitter handle is?
At JKSub20, because there's only one of those two.
Fantastic. And Chris, your Twitter handle is?
TTSO_Chris, because my name is Chris.
That's good. And you say underscore, you mean that line that's down at the bottom, not the word underscore.
Yeah, that would be really confusing if your Twitter handle had the word underscore in it.
I kind of want to do that now. Tweet at me, at __. Anyway, that's the sort of thing that I think about on weekday afternoons, is changing my Twitter handle to that. On that note, of course, Jeremy would ask if there's anything that I wish to say before we wrap up. I want to say don't forget to pet your cat. James, is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
Is Jeremy still here?
No, he hung up already.
No.
Wait, I'm still here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hi, Jeremy!
Why does he sound like Santa Claus? That's weird. Anyway, Chris, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Of course, I want to say good night, Prince Janice.
And on that note, friends, we bid you a fair night and a good rest of your week.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.